This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
I'm continuing again, like Pastor said, with the topic of fear. Amen. I'm going to do a quick recap. Last week, we focused on fear and speculation. Okay. How speculation can give rise to fear. And this week, I'm going to be... We also looked at the things we fear most as Christians. We looked at things like poverty as one of the things that we fear most, the loss of treasured possessions, fear of sickness or debt. These are the kind of things that sometimes we struggle with even as Christians. And we said that, you know, what this fear stems from unbelief in our hearts and a failure to internalize God's promises. Okay, we know God's promises off the pages of the Bible, but they're not really in us, you know. Many a times, yes, they are in our heads, but they're not really in our hearts. So we said, you know, that is where the problems come from. But today we are going to look at fear and natural wisdom. How natural wisdom, how operating in our natural wisdom can give, you know, rise to fear in our lives. Okay, we just look at that very, very briefly. I'm going to look at battling with fear, the starting point when you want to deal with fear, when you want to battle with fear. I'm also going to look at a few points on how to deal with the stronghold of fear, because fear is a stronghold and it's a major stronghold in, you know, in our lives. And if possible, I will also, I guess I'm pushing it a bit, I will also look at the giant killer of fear. And what is the giant killer of fear? Faith is the fear killer. Faith is that thing. Is that giant that kills fear in the lives of each and every one of us. So if there's time, we'll look at that. If not, we'll look at it next week. We should finish this next week, and then Pastor will start looking at the area of anger. Okay? So it's two, fear and anger going together. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, when we assess a situation or assess a circumstance based on our fleshly wisdom, or what I'll call the wisdom of man, our own natural wisdom, most of the time it will always produce fear. So when you assess a situation, a circumstance, especially if it's a potentially dangerous situation of life or a potentially dangerous circumstance of life, if you decide to assess that situation based on your own natural wisdom, based on your fleshly wisdom, not the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God is His word. So when you assess it based on your own natural wisdom, which is what you can see, what is happening around you, then it will always produce fear. Okay? It will always produce fear. So when we as Christians fail to incorporate into our assessment the truth of God and His word, fear will be the result. So what am I saying? When you look at a situation, when you assess a situation, especially when it's a potentially dangerous situation, but you don't bring the truth of God and the word of God into that situation, what you are going to have is fear. That is going to be the result of that assessment, because you have put God on one side and you have put His word on one side, and you're looking at the situation with your own human eyes, with your naked eyes. Basically, you're looking at it based on your five senses. And how many of us know that sometimes our five senses actually mess us up? You know, Sometimes they mess us up, you know. So, you know, this is why I'm looking at the area of natural wisdom. Because you think natural wisdom, what has that got to do with fear? But when we take hold of our natural wisdom, you know, you look at the situation and you judge it with your five senses. You judge it the way that you see it. And you separate the word of God. You know, there's some people that will say things like, oh, let's not bring the word of God into this. And I think, what situation as Christians must we not bring the word of God into? What situation? Every situation, I can't think of any situation. You know, looking back at my life for so many years now, I can't think of any situation. When people come to me and we speak one-on-one, I can't think of any solution. I can't think of any answer. I can't think of any way out other than based on the word of God and what God says. You know, so sometimes when you hear these things, you wonder, you know, what are these people about? Especially when it's coming from Christians as well. You begin to wonder. But you have to stand firm, you know, and know in whom you have believed. And just focus on him. And realize that, look here, whatever anybody says, it will pass away. But this word, it will never pass away. This word, it will stay constant. It will remain as it is. You know, as God has said it. Hallelujah. So, you know, please remember that we need to incorporate into our assessment of danger. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, if it's a situation where, for example, you know, for example, a financial situation, you know, that is threatening you, you know, in one particular area or the other, you know, sometimes we want to try and deal with it in our natural wisdom. And when we do that, I'm telling you, all kinds of fears set in. Even the words and the things that you will be hearing all around you will be enough to create fear inside of you. And if you don't, you know, go back into the word of God, if you don't look to God, then serious fear will result. And unfortunately, many of us live in that realm of fear, you know, because we refuse to bring God into the situation. Okay, so please remember that in terms of natural wisdom. Now, battling fear. In order to battle fear on a practical level, we must first identify the enemy. First thing, I'm going to look at some other points, but first thing, on a practical level, you know, if it's fear of death, then we need to identify the enemy. Okay? We need to identify the enemy. That's the first thing. You know, where is this fear coming from? What is bringing this fear about? What is causing this fear to rise up in me? Because fear doesn't just rise up in us. There is a root to the fear. And we need to identify that. When you look at the Bible, in Moses' day, it was Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the enemy that needed to be identified. Okay? You remember when God said to Moses he was going to be the deliverer of God's people and all that, you know, the first person that came up was Pharaoh, because Pharaoh was the enemy. Pharaoh was the person that, you know, Moses had the fear of. Not even necessarily the children of Israel. It was Pharaoh that he was really fearful of. And we need to identify the enemy in our own situation. For Joshua, it was the inhabitants of Jericho and the people of Ai, among others. Okay, Ai, the people of Ai, if I'm pronouncing that properly. Okay. For David, it was initially Goliath and the Philistines. Okay. That was the enemy that brought fear and panic into the camp of the Israelites. You know, and David identified him, and David said, I'm not going to be intimidated by him, and David went for him. So the one essential element in battling fear is identifying the enemy that steers it. What steers it up in you? What steers fear in you? You know, if it's a fear of people, fear, what steers it up? You know, it might be that we need to go to God and ask God to show us the root of that fear of man. For many people, fear of man is a really big problem. What is the root of it? You know, like I was saying a few weeks ago, you know, fear has become something that we just accept. It's part of our lifestyle. It's just part of, you know, it's just part of the routine. It's just, you just live with it. And because we don't see fear as sin, you understand? Many people, when you say the word unbelief, they agree with you that it's sin. But when you say the word fear, they just think, fear. Everybody fears something or fears someone. But it is a sin. It is a sin. And we need to, you know, look at it that way. And we need to go to God and say, Lord, what is the root of this fear? It might be that, you know, this fear has been brought about by something that happened in our childhood, you know. Or maybe the kind of home that we were brought up in. There are people that were brought up in, for example, polygamous families where all sorts of things happened. And therefore, a root of fear, and the fear of man in particular, has been implanted into their hearts. You know, and therefore, there is that constant exhibition of fear of man in their lives. Even till the ripe old age, there's still that fear, you know. It might be that somebody had been, wounded, or maybe somebody had done something bad to, you know, another person years ago. And as a result of that, there is the fear of people. You know, there are people, for example, people who come from Africa will kind of understand what I'm talking about. You know, there are all sorts of fears. The fears of, oh, don't go to this place. Oh, don't eat at this place. Oh, don't go to that person's house. You know, those kind of fears which, you know, come about because of the kind of culture or background that person was brought up in. But those fears need to be dealt with. We need to identify what the problem, the enemy that stirred it up in the first place, and deal with that enemy in the name of Jesus. The bottom line is that God does not want us to live in fear. Fear does not come from God. Fear does not originate from God. God is not the author of fear. It doesn't come from Him. It's not a gift of God to us. You know, it's not a. The Bible says that the gifts of God, they make it rich and add no sorrow. Fear actually adds sorrow. It just puts one in panic. I'm talking about ungodly fear here. You know, it puts you in panic. It doesn't allow you to be who you're supposed to be. It doesn't allow you to function the way that you. There's always a limitation where there is fear. There's always a limitation. There's always another step higher that you could go, but you are being limited because of this fear. You know, and it's a killer. You know, millions of people, you know, are dying without fulfilling their destinies because of fear. Because of fear. Because of fear. What will this one say? What will that one say? What will happen? Oh, if I tried. What if it collapses? What if it, you know, sometimes people, God has said to them, go into business, you know, but the fear of, oh, if it doesn't work out, and the speculation that I was talking about last week, the natural wisdom again comes into it. You know, what if it doesn't work? What if, you know, the first few months, we don't meet, ends don't meet, and, you know, I can't pay the bills, you know. And a lot of people will not take one step to do anything because, and you see, as long as Satan can keep us in fear, he has no problem. So you can be a Christian for 25 years, 30 years, 40 years. As long as he can keep you in that bondage of fear, he knows that you're not going to rise up to do what God wants you to do. Because you see, whatever God calls us to do is always bigger than us. Much, much more. You know, sometimes if we were to begin to share here the kind of things that God has showed us in the spirit realm, in our times of prayer, in, you know, in dreams, you know, we won't even want to share it, because we'll be like, you know, they will think of, you know, she's going ahead of herself. This is a bit too much. I'm sure if we were to discuss it with one another, you know, but fear will stop us. Fear will cause people to go through their graves with visions that should have been fulfilled, that have not been fulfilled. Lives that should have been touched. Because every time God gives you a vision or a dream, or, you know, God has given each and every one of us a destiny. But do you know it's so that somebody else, I fervently believe that everything that God has given to us is because there is somebody else that needs it. There's somebody else that's going to benefit from it. There's somebody else whose life is going to be better because of that thing. And what fear will do is cause us not to even want to think about it, not to want to even step into that dimension of saying, okay, God, I'm just going to take you at your word. Even if it was just a dream, one night you spoke it to me. You know, I was reading this article, really blessed me. This article where this pastor was praying for, the church were in prayer and fasting, and they were believing God for, I think the pastor in his own quiet time was praying about the building. They were believing God for their building. And as he was praying, he heard, it wasn't an audible voice, but he said it was as near as could be an audible voice from God. And God said to him, ring up Royal Mail. Ring up Royal Mail. And he thought, ring up Royal Mail. And he's, you know, came out, and then I think he was questioning it, and he heard the voice again, ring up the Royal Mail. And he got off, and he was thinking what, and I think God impressed on him that it was about a building. So he got off and he rang. And when he rang, one way or the other, God, you know, he was able to get through to, no, he rang and he said, you know, are you disposing of any buildings? And they gave him a number, and he rang. And he got through to the director of disposals, you know, the person that is in charge of. And that one said, oh, we've actually just put out a list, you know, of some buildings we want to dispose of. And, you know, the list was sent to him, you know. And just to cut a long story short, it's a powerful testimony, you know, to the glory of God in 2001. That building, which is a massive, 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 massive building, that other people were attracted to, big companies were attracted to, it became their building for that particular church. But when I thought about that, you know, fear could have stopped that pastor. The fear of, you know, if I say to the people while I was praying, a voice said to me, ring up Royal Mail. You know, the fear of the way they will react, what they will say, how they will look at him, that fear could have stopped him from, you know, taking that step. And there were several steps that they had to take. Even to the last minute, the money didn't come up because the banks were not willing to give them money. Mortgage lenders were not. But because he had a word from God, all he had was ring up Royal Mail. That was all. You know, but fear did not stop him. And God blessed him the way that he wanted to. Hallelujah. So remember, it's God, fear and God don't go together. It's the world that teaches us to fear. The world is the one that teaches us to fear. It's the one that creates fear in us. The truth is, we don't have to be tormented by fear. No Christian needs to be tormented by fear. No Christian. We can be delivered by the power of the blood of Jesus. It's not our portion to continue to live in fear. We need to just begin to speak to God and really acknowledge, you know, the first point is acknowledging that there is fear. And then getting to the root, identifying the enemy, the root of this fear in one's life, and being serious about it and saying, I am going to deal with this fear. This fear has to go, because this fear is limiting me. This fear is stopping my destiny. This fear is causing me to be shortchanged. This fear is also causing other people to be shortchanged. So how do we deal with the stronghold of fear? How do we deal with the stronghold of fear? The first thing, which I've already said, number one, acknowledge the existence of ungodly fear in your life. Acknowledge it. Be truthful with God. Be truthful with yourself. Open up to God. Lord, you know, this is not something, say to God, this is something that, you know, I've never really looked at, considered, bothered about, because, you know, it's not really hampered on my day-to-day living. It has, but sometimes that's the way we feel. Lord, I acknowledge the existence of ungodly fear in my life. Let's acknowledge it before God. Let's be truthful to Him. Let's say, Lord, it is there. You know, when you go to God and you say it's there, what you're saying is, Lord, I need help. You know, and then we put God in a position where He can help us. So that's number one. Number two, deal with it by praying. Deal with it by praying. Go to God in prayer. You know, sometimes when we get to this point, people are like, yeah, okay, prayer, you know, prayer. But that's the key. Prayer is the answer, like they say. Prayer is the answer. We need to deal with it by praying, going to God in prayer and asking God Himself to deliver us, to take away the root of the spirit of fear. Dealing, you know, that God should deal with it ruthlessly in our lives. Remove it from our lives. Deliver us from it. Wherever it's come from, wherever it's, you know, whichever way it's been produced in our lives, Lord, let's cry out to Him. Let's really, really cry. Not the kind of prayer, Lord, I bring this fear before You. Lord, take it out of my heart. And, you know, you just pray it and you go about your business. Really, 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 you know, crying out to God for real and saying, Lord, I want this thing out of my life. I am desperate. I need it to go in the name of Jesus. The third thing, receive the revelation of the perfect love of God. Receive the revelation of the perfect love of God. 1 John 4 verse 18. 1 John 4 verse 18. I'll quickly read that. It's such a powerful scripture. 1 John 4 verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Okay, we need to catch the revelation of the perfect love of God. How many of us know that God loves us perfectly? He loves us with a perfect love. His love for us is perfect. It's complete. It's whole. You know, He doesn't love us half and half. He loves us so much. He loves us, you know, in a wholesome kind of way. And therefore, we don't need to fear. And for many of us, it's because we haven't caught the revelation of the love of God for us. We truly, truly, we say, Lord, I thank You because You love me. But we truly, truly, truly do not understand the dimension and the depth of God's love for us. And I just want to say to you today, God's love is complete. God perfectly loves you. He loves you totally. And you need to receive the revelation of that perfect love of God. It's the love of Jesus, the perfect love of our King, received into our hearts that kicks out ungodly fear. When we receive that God's love, that, you know, regardless of what we look like, you know, where we come from, you know, our color or whatever, God loves us. We need to catch that. You know, you see why sometimes fear comes in. Fear comes in because we don't understand God's love. We don't understand that God actually is not going to sit down and allow horrible and bad things to happen to us. I'm not saying we won't have trials and tribulations. Do you understand what I'm saying? But God's love is that God is not, you know, God is not like, you know, a human being that you cannot trust implicitly. You see, and sometimes we think God is like a human being. So we can't trust Him implicitly. So on the one hand, we still think, am I sure God will be there? Will He really, you know, is He able to protect me in this situation? Is He able to feed me? Is He able to put food on my table? Is He able to, you know, provide for me? Really, is He able? We don't say it, but our actions depict it. And that's why we have to catch that revelation. I have to catch it. I've caught it to a large degree. I want to catch it even more. Because it drives out fear. Because you are secure in that love. You know that, look here, it's not going to leave you just for anything to happen to you. is not just going to leave you, for people to destroy your life and to ruin your life. God is not like that. Like they say and they sing, God is a good God. So we need to, the love of Jesus, the perfect love of our King, needs to be received into our hearts, and that will kick out ungodly fear. And number four, we need to deal with it by controlling what we receive into our minds. Deal with it by controlling what you receive into your minds. Watch what you read. Watch what you read, what you watch. For example, as in on the telly, on the screens, in the cinemas and whatever. What you take in and what you accept into your heart. We need to watch those things, because sometimes the things that we take into our, a lot of times the thing we take into our minds that we actually either go and pay money to take into our heart, or sit down in front of a screen to take into our heart, creates fear and destroys faith. It creates fear, I'm sure there are other people here. I know a few people have mentioned that, that are a bit like me. Everything I watch, I have to be very careful of what I watch, because whatever I watch stays there. Whatever I see, whatever I, sit down to watch stays there. And there are many people like that, For some people, it's what they read. Once they read it, it stays there, So we need to control what we receive into our minds. Watch what we read, watch what we watch, take in and accept into our hearts. So that fear does not... You see, these are the subtle ways. I know you might laugh at me. I don't like horror films. I don't like them. Even the African movies where they start doing all this, medicine and this and voodoo or whatever. Because I know it's going to stay there, and I'm going to think about it and dwell upon it. And my mind is not, it's not a dustbin for me to just, and then I have to unprocess that for another 1 week. When I could be dwelling, the Bible talks about us dwelling on those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, those things that are of a good report. Those kind of things. So that's something we can do. We don't even need to pray about that one. We can do it ourselves. That's one way to deal with it. And number five, this one is, for me, this is the powerhouse. And this is what I will be focusing on next week. Deal with it by being in the Word of God. Deal with it. Deal with fear. To deal with fear effectively. I'm talking about consistently. Where you're dealing with fear, it's not going to be a one-off, hit and miss or whatever they say. No, this will take you through. This will still be effective a year down the line when we're preaching something else completely. This is the key. Deal with it by being in the Word of God. Read the Word of God constantly. Read the Word of God constantly. And next week, I'm going to be looking at, what it means to hear the Word of God. I'm going to be looking at the fact that, not only do we need to hear it, we need to read it, we need to study it, we need to memorize it, we need to meditate upon it, And God was just showing me that when the Bible talks about faith comes by hearing, it's not just hearing. There are some steps to it. And that's a real antidote. A real thing that counters fear. So read the Word of God constantly. God has given us time. Let us use it to read the Word. Truly, in this church, let us be people that actually read the Word. Let us really be those people. Let's not be people who wait till Sunday or Wednesday, or our cell groups. Let's make it a lifestyle, whereby a day does not pass without us not eating the Word of God. I'm telling you, we can give 1,001 excuses, but every one of us all have the same busy schedules, but we have to fit it in. Okay. Listen to the word of God. Know and hide God's promises in your heart. Build your faith up by being constantly in the word. That's the only way you can build your faith up, by being constantly in the word. Because when you think, oh, one situation, you know, you have just, you know, overcome it, there's another one around the corner, and you need another set of word to deal with that word. Not the same set of, you know, word. You know, I'm talking about the word of God that you used to deal with this word. You need another set to deal with that one. And I'm not just talking about books. And it's you know, if we don't read books as Christians, we're losing our big time. But the word, the Bible, that has to be number one. Then the books in addition. That has to, we need to eat that. If you are reading books, and you don't study the word, it's unbalanced diet. You know, it's malnutrition that you're calling for. So build your faith up by being constantly in the word. Faith kills fear. That's what it is. And faith only comes as we dig into the word. And finally, deal with it by living in the fear of God. See, all this is about how to deal with the stronghold of ungodly fear. But to deal with it, we need to learn to live in the fear of God. And many, many Christians don't even understand that there's something called the fear of God. Talk less of living in it. And the fear of God is a real thing. And it's still applicable today. You know, 22nd of August 2007. And it will still be applicable in the next 20, 50, 100 years. If Jesus tarries. You know, and we need to, you know, that's one way to deal with the fear, the ungodly fear, by learning to live in the fear of God. Let me look at one scripture finally. Isaiah 8:13. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. It says, the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear. That's what it means to live in the fear of God. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Hallelujah. I'll read that again. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. That is, him alone we shall hallow. We shall esteem. We shall revere. We shall fear. Let him be your fear. Let nothing. What he's saying is that don't fear any other thing. Don't fear any other person. Let him alone be your fear. Only as we truly fear the Lord will we be delivered from slavery to all abnormal and demonic fears. You see, the more the fear of God in our lives, the more the ungodly fears will disappear from our lives. I truly believe that. And I think that's why it's important that we begin to cultivate the fear of God. You know, as we cultivate the fear of God, and the fear of God becomes part of us, so that some things that we will normally do, we don't do. Not because anybody's looking, not because anybody's saying anything, but because of the fear of God in us. When we truly fear God, then many, many people will be delivered from the slavery to all abnormal and demonic fears. If you fear God, all other fears will disappear. If you truly fear God, truly, with all your heart, with your whole being, with every fiber in you, if you fear God, I'm not talking about, you know, the kind of fear that causes you to tremble and, you know, go under the pulpit, but the fear of God that will cause us to, you know his commandments and obey his commandments. If we do, then all these ungodly fears will disappear. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for tonight. Father, we give you glory. Father, we give you glory.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-ncc.org. And remember, God loves you.